Thank you. I have never heard that before. That's beautiful. Thank you. Well, hi, everybody. We're back in the church, finally. It's been a very strange couple of weeks, hasn't it? If you missed it, you can always go back and watch on the website our previous services. But if you missed it, we were bringing the service to you remotely the last two Sundays because of the weather. And it's a very strange thing for us not to be able to bring our creative energies together in the same room, although we trust that the same energy is working in us as we do our remote work, and then it gets knitted together very beautifully. My friends, you've heard me say before that I feel like I'm just the spokesperson for what's going on for all of us. And I was in the Wise Women meeting yesterday on Zoom, and I began to hear some affirmation that what I was thinking was occurring for other people. And I've seen that in social media and in conversations with people. I don't know that any of us are not shedding that which we no longer need. This year that we're coming up on, of not being together in person and not caring about our lives the way we always have, has kind of burned away all the excess. We're all thinking differently. We're all feeling differently. Our spiritual practices have changed. What we prioritize has changed. The way we are with other people has changed. And I don't know that we can fully grasp what a transformation we've been going through until we've got a little distance on it in the future to be able to look back. So not only did the pandemic begin to work on us when we first realized that this was not going to be something of short duration and we'd wait it out and then we'd all come back together, it's a much longer duration than any of us had thought it was going to be. We still don't know when we'll be able to gather again in person. It kind of depends on the vaccination rates and how quickly we can be safe to be around each other in the intimate setting that we have here in our spiritual community. And then we had the great snowpocalypse of 2021, of the 2000s. I lived in different places when I was a child where we had snow all winter, and that was not a big deal because we lived in places where snow all winter was already a thing, and so we were taken care of with snow plows and the ability to have, the basics like electric and heat and water and things like that. But many of us went through a very difficult experience a couple of weeks ago. And it shifted the way we think about things. It shifted the way our brain operated. We have evolved to such a degree that we are mostly using our higher functioning in our brain to carry on with our daily lives. But during the week of the ice storm and the snowstorm and the extreme cold temperatures, we were moved into another part of our brain that was more focused on just surviving what we were going through and being creative. Now, you know that all this month in our Wednesday night class, we've been studying this book called How God Changes Your Brain by Dr. Andrew Newberg, who is a neuroscientist, and Mark Robert Waldman, who Kit is fortunate to be able to study with in her seminary classes right now. And so we've learned a lot about spirituality and our spiritual practices, our daily practices, and how it affects our brain and how being in touch with spirit changes our brain. So we got yanked out of a time that has been different and sometimes difficult because of its isolation into a survival mode, if you will, which put all of our activity in our limbic brain, which is here in the back. And when that happens, usually our adrenaline goes up. We're not as engaged in the higher functions as we are trying to stay warm, trying to stay fed, trying to stay hydrated, dealing with uncertainty. And most of the people I know had it from varying degrees of a long period of time without heat or water to shorter periods of time without one or the other. And we also know that there are people in our community, people on the margins, people in lower income communities, that for some reason seem to have lost their power for longer periods of time, were out of water for longer periods of time, and had less to work with when they went into this. And that is not right. That isn't right. And I'll be talking about that more in the future, about the inequities in our society. But we know that there are people who suffered greatly through this. Knowing that, even as we went through it, also created something in us. It created an anguish for the suffering of our fellow human beings. It created, almost universally, to everybody I've talked to, a sense of helplessness about not being able to help people the way that we normally would do. We weren't able to get out and drive around in our cars to bring supplies to people because the roads were not safe for us to do so. Our church building here, where our business manager Leah and her son Taylor live, where the pipes broke at our well. So they didn't have water, they didn't have power, and they didn't have a way to get down the hill or for people to get up the hill to the church. Knowing that they were here in the cold and the dark without water was anguish. You can't know, Leah, how much I wanted to be able to do something and couldn't. And that's just a piece of it. There were people all over Texas who were suffering. So what it has awakened is not only moving back to a survival brain, which we're not used to doing, but then it also opened up a higher level of compassion in us, where the only thing left that we could do was pray. That was all we could do. It's one thing when we have our prayer and an action to go with it. It's another thing when prayer is the only thing we can lean into. And that's what we did. That's what we did. It was a struggle within us to do that, to be able to just finally surrender ourselves. Katie Marie, my gosh, I was closer to you in town than anybody else, and there was nothing I could do. I had extra place in my house for people, and nobody could get to it. And we still would have had to melt snow for you. Now, that's something I never thought I would be saying. Not in these times, not in Central Texas. Oh, we had to melt snow to flush our toilets. Okay. It's kind of an Eskimo thing. No, probably not an Eskimo thing. They know how to handle it way better than we do. But what I did, I know, during that week, And during the time when I didn't have any water, and I did my Facebook Live Thursday presentation, was to encourage us to move as often as we could from the limbic brain of survival and begin to shift ourselves, because we do have that choice. We do have that ability to shift ourselves to that higher function of trusting in God, of extending our prayers and our compassion to others, of finding ways to relax and to begin to dissipate some of that adrenaline and uncertainty so that we could be creative in the ways that we fed ourselves, warmed ourselves, stayed hydrated. And so that's what we did. And we began to exercise the God-given ability that we have to make that shift. We maybe could stay there longer sometimes than others. We would move back into, oh, I'm in my bathrobe and I need to go get more snow so that I have water in the morning. But that's what we did. We found ways to be creative. We found ways to dig deep, then discover what was important. I know that in my household, we all left our different parts of the house and we gathered in the living room with the fireplace, and that was our base of operations. Ask my dogs. Ask our cats. We were all, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. We had 8 beings in our living room. And that's where we did everything. And there was an intimacy. There was a kind of a pioneering feeling to it. And we found joy with each other. And we found to have fun and to laugh. And to express our boredom. And express our upsets about the inconvenience. And to also become very clear that there are people who live without our modern conveniences every single day of their lives. And we need to be participants in changing that. If we didn't learn anything else during the week of winter weather, it is that we have got to, even more than ever, look out for one another. As many people as we can, in as many places as we can, as often as we can. And however that looks for you is the way it will manifest. It might be your dollars. It might be your hands. It might be giving thanks every time you can turn on a faucet and water comes out, saying, thank you, God, for this water. Thank you, God, for this water. Thank you, God, that I can see in the dark. Thank you that I am warm. Thank you that I have clothes to keep me warm. And now we can extend our prayers to the people that are still putting their lives back together. And some people will take months for that to happen. So we extend our prayers and our hands toward people that are still recovering their homes. I read someone who had enough burst pipes in their home that they had been without water for 2 weeks. And so we extend our blessing and our compassion to the plumbers and the handymen and the people that work in the public utilities as they deal with not only their business, but the people who are mad about their business. And we have so many people to pray for right now. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm not speaking to you out of anger or privilege. It's because of privilege that I'm speaking to you. Because that's our responsibility living in a modernized world, in a developed nation. That is our responsibility. So I am grateful that we have the opportunity to be able to shift our brains and begin to now shift our focus back to these higher functions and out of the anxiety and the survival mode that we were in. We can begin to focus differently now on what this year has meant to us and how we're going to be different and how we will contribute to the world differently because of the pandemic and because of our weather crisis. How are we different? How are we going to be different? How are we going to change the world? We're not going to change it all. We're not going to change it overnight, but we're going to do little things here and here and here and here. And we trust that Spirit will reveal to us what is next and what is ours to do. That's what we're going to do. That's what we are doing. And yes, I'm saying that affirmatively because we will manifest this. We are manifesting this right now. The action will show up. So I'm going to skip around in the material in the book for just a moment. It's important for us to get back to our serenity. And our serenity is an important tool for us to be able to be guided in what is next, to be able to be guided in every moment, to be able to be guided in our resetting of our priorities, in the plans that change for our lives. To have serenity, we must have intention to have serenity, intention to be able to manifest something that maybe has been in potential and now it's going to come into form. So we have to have intention for that. We have to put ourselves in a state of relaxation for that. And then we have to have a sense of awareness about the intention and the relaxation and what comes forth. If that sounds like meditation, that's because that's what's required. There you go. We cannot think our way into serenity. We can only listen by doing these things to what comes next for us. To listen to what's bubbling to the surface. And there's a lot of stuff getting out of the way so that the bubbling to the surface can occur a little bit easier than it has before, because the time is right. So, beloved, God is already changing your brain. Yay! God's already changing your brain. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news that not only is it just nice that you're experiencing God, not only is it just nice that these experiences we've been going through have burned off all the excess, separated the wheat from the chaff, as it says in Scripture. The chaff is the part of the wheat that we don't need, even if you're gluten-free. It burns off everything that we don't need. So there are ways that you can exercise your brain to make it a little bit easier for God to change it. You know what I've begun to think? Here's what I've begun to think. I've begun to think that when we were all meeting here together, we had profound spiritual experiences, but I think we began to take them for granted. I did. I always trusted that the work that I was guided to do in this life would always look the way it's always looked. And boy, has that ever changed. If you get into this work because you love to serve people and you love to be with people and you flourish in that exchange of energy, boy, has that changed. Because, I mean, I feel lucky. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm the 9th person here in this room today. And so we get to exchange energy in the familiar way. But also, I can look at this little lens and know that we're connecting. I never thought that that would be part of my service as a minister. That that would be the primary way that I would connect with the people that I love. Wow. We've seen a lot more of each other's pets and the inside of each other's houses over the last year than we ever thought we would do. I've begun to love your pets like I love my own. And I was happy to be able to talk with women yesterday morning for our Wise Women Zoom in my bathrobe with a cup of coffee. It was nice. It was nice to know that I could come without makeup and it was okay. How vain is that? But that used to be important. It's not important anymore. So we used to come together and we used to take for granted that we could embrace each other and share each other's energy and sing together. And now we've had to really, really go deeply into how we worship without that. And I say worship, it's a traditional word, but it's important for us to remember that we are within and part of something that is greater than ourselves and as intimate as our own breath. And by giving thanks and acknowledging that, that is the meaning of worship. To be able to praise all of creation because it is worship. So now we're doing it differently. Today this week I worshiped, some of you saw it on Facebook, I worshiped because I got to see an enormous flock of cedar waxwings. It's the only time I've seen them all season, and I know other people have seen them in their yard, and I just happened to look out to see them drinking at the pool and fluttering around in the adjacent tree, making a whole lot of noise. And it was glorious. And that was worship. It stayed with me all day long because I felt like I got a gift. I haven't seen them again. I looked out and there they were in all their beautiful migratory beauty. And robins, oh my goodness, the robins have been here in abundance and for longer than I remember them being here. They were happy about the snow. Yippee. They were out busy doing their robin thing. And they were a lesson. So I'm just going to give you some tools today for exercising your brain so that your adjustment to life as it is and life on life's terms can occur. And I'm going to do them in ascending order from the simplest thing to the thing that makes the most profound change. So the first thing is to smile. And we really get an opportunity to see what smiling is like because many of us are wearing masks when we're out around people that we would smile with or smile at. So you get to practice smiling all the way through your eyes. It can't just be a little cursory bending of your lips. If you're going to smile at somebody else to extend your goodwill, let it get all the way up to your eyes. There's a model out there named Tyra Banks that's been around for a while. She calls it when you smile with your eyes, you're smizing. So practice your smize, smiling with your eyes. See, there's a little keyword for you. Next on the list, stay intellectually active. Try different things to keep your brain stimulated. If you're doing the same thing all the time, you can get in a rut, so switch it up. T. to keep your brain active and to stay intellectually informed. Read about the world. Read about what's going on. Read about scientific discoveries. Look at, the Blanton Museum has had online interactive offerings that they've given for you to meditate on a piece of art that's in the collection. Wonderful thing. So stay intellectually active. I can tell you that I have built the chassis of an Aston Martin that's the James Bond car out of Legos, but I messed up something in the chassis and I can't build on top of it. I think it's in the ejector seat mechanism. So I've got to tear it all down again and build it all back up, which I really was not wanting to do, but you know, it's Legos, so it's not like my life depends on it, but I choose to do it because it gives my brain a different kind of activity. I'm not saying Legos are for everybody, but you might give it a try if you haven't. They have things much simpler than an Aston Martin or James Bond. Consciously relax. That's next on the list. Consciously relax. And you can do a body scan and see where you're not relaxed. And you might discover that you've got your tongue glued to the roof of your mouth. Relax your tongue. You might discover you've got your scalp tensed up. We can do that. There's muscles. Relax your scalp. Do a body scan and consciously relax your body. Yawn. I'm not going to go to this page, but there are, I think there's 8 different things that you change in your body when you yawn on purpose. And if you throw a stretch in there with it, better. Kits had us doing that on Wednesday nights. That's the way we start our meditation. That's the way we start our classes, by yawning and stretching. I kind of want to yawn talking about it. Number 4, meditate. Isn't it surprising meditation is not at the very top of the list? Meditate. Just do a little practice. You can do 12 minutes a day. That can start changing your brain. Aerobic exercise. I'm woefully lacking in this particular part of changing my brain. Ding. Aerobic exercise. It makes you breathe. It gets your blood flowing. It produces endorphins. I mean, there's all the benefits of aerobic exercise. It's just a matter of doing it. Dang it. Number 2, dialogue with others. Not just talk, dialogue. I've been in a long dialogue with my son David. He's been reading about an expedition from England to try to find a way through the Northwest Passage across the northern part of Canada up near the Arctic Circle. And I've learned a whole lot about seafaring, ice locking, and these two doomed expeditions. Learned a lot about the indigenous people of that part of the world. And we dialogue about it. We ask questions. We explore things together. So dialogue with others. It doesn't have to be about Eskimos or ships, but find something that is stimulating for both of you. Number 1 on the list of exercising your brain is faith. Faith. This is what we do here. We affirm in everything that we do that we are people of faith. We know that God is involved in our lives. We know it. We know that God is in charge. We know that God is our source and our supply. We know that God is omnipresent, omniscient, everything, omnipotent. That was the other one I left out. So be ready for your brain to rebel about this. Dr. Newberg and Mr. Waldman have said, what's the solution to your neural resistance to change? Because it will rebel. It will say, I don't think so on any of these things. Mine says no pretty firmly to aerobic exercise. But what do we do? Mark and Andrew recommend these 3 things. A conscious commitment to make a small improvement every day. A good dose of social support to help you honor that commitment. In other words, find somebody to be accountable to. And a hefty serving of optimism and faith. Oh, and one other thing, a willingness to practice, at the very least, for a few minutes every day. With practice, you can build up to 20 to 40 minutes a day, which may be the ideal range of time to enhance the neural functioning of your brain. Would that be okay with you? To have a brain that works better? To have a brain that is actively engaged with your life and with God? Would that be okay with you? Would it be all right with you if you had the neurological ability more and more and more to express kindness and empathy and forgiveness? All those things are compassion. Kindness, empathy, and forgiveness. If you've got some outer goals in your life, see what it is reflecting about your inner values. You may want to say, okay, I'm going to take this amount of food to the food bank or send this check to the food bank. That's an outer intention. The inner purpose, the inner ideal is generosity, equality, minding your brother and sister, taking care of children. We're built to do that. We're not built to be isolated, taking care of only ourselves. So look when you do an outer action to see what inner value it is expressing in you. It's just a subtle shift, and it makes all the difference. And you will find yourself amazed at the values that live in you that you may have been so used to them that you don't even acknowledge them anymore. Acknowledge that about yourself, because it's who we're intended to be. It's who we're built to be. It's how we're supposed to operate. And I am saying supposed to, because why else are we here? Why else? So, beloved, I just want to say to you what I always say to you. You're doing just fine. You're doing fine. I know that through these struggles, your courage and your generosity, your commitment, your compassion have been shining through. Those are the stories that got us through that awful week of weather, was seeing how people were helping out other people, to see how our communities were connecting with one another in new ways. Where people who maybe had less to offer found gifts that were incredibly valuable to give to others. So you're doing fine. You're beautifully created, and you're beautifully expressing. Let's take that into our meditation. And I'm just going to stay here with my eyes open to you. You can close your eyes if it helps you to separate yourself from the world a little bit. But as we join each other today, will you just acknowledge what it said in our daily word today, that we really are connected to one another because Spirit connects us? And so know that as you are meditating or praying here today, right now, even if you're watching this broadcast at a different time, you are no less connected because time and space don't matter. Here we are, united in spirit. Breathtakingly, heartbreakingly united. Know that the tears that you might have shed over this last year are being comforted. Know that the frustration you might have experienced is shared by others, lived by others, solved, resolved. Know that whatever mighty change, whatever mighty shift is occurring in you right now is perfectly aligned and perfectly arranged and perfectly timed in God. So breathe and relax. Yawn. You can yawn right now. Make yourself yawn. Give your brain a break. Know that just because we are not together in person, we are still as joined as we ever were, and maybe even more so. And will you hold in faith in that mighty, mighty gift that we've been given of faith? Will you hold the vision of our coming back together, however it looks and whenever it happens, and hold it with joy and gratitude in advance? And take a moment to worship. Give thanks to the Creator, transcendent and beyond, immanent and within, all the same. Give thanks. Stand in awe of the mighty work of God being done in you, in your spiritual family, and in the world beyond us. Humanity will never be the same as it was 18 months ago. And today we also hold in silent appreciation, in mourning, in acknowledgement of the 500,000 lives in this country alone that we have lost. Not in all of the 20th century and 21st century incursions into other countries have we lost as many people as we've lost this last year. What shall we do with our sadness but shed our tears, give thanks for lives that were lived, and extend our prayers to those who love them? This month, we acknowledge those of the Black community who are still recovering in their communities from centuries, decades of mistreatment and inequity. And we celebrate those pioneers that have stepped forward with courage and with faith to bring people into the light, people of all colors. So let your heart be full. Know that your heart can contain everything right now that you might be experiencing. And let the peace of God descend upon you and grow within you, that you know that peace completely, and you are comforted and you are inspired. And beloved, I extend to you the hand of faith the hand of friendship, the hand of our unity. And so it is. Amen.